Whose gentle voice, when childish heart was pierced by disappointments dark, did consolation sweet impart? It was the voice of mother. Whose sacrifice, whose smile and tears have brought their blessings through the years in sharing all our joys and cares? The sacrifice of mother. The memory of whose constant care, whose self-forgetfulness, whose prayers, a hail spreads across the years. 'Tis those of precious mother. Whose counsel and whose tenderness come back today, our lives to bless, to teach us true unselfishness. The tenderness of mother. Whose blessed face and vision bright, like beacon gleaming through the night, is here today to lend us light, the gentle face of mother. You know, it's well that we set aside a certain day to honor our mothers, for there's no human agency comparable to motherhood for the blessing of the spiritual lives of men. Today, we're going to talk about portrait of a beautiful woman. And what is the most beautiful of all God's creation? Well, it's not the splendor of the Rocky Mountains. It's not the scenic view of the Ozarks when the dogwoods are in bloom. And it's not a winter scene with the trees covered with ice that looks like a million diamonds that we've all witnessed. No, it's a helpmate that God has given man. And the portrait of a beautiful woman, we know her as Mrs. Far Above Rubies. Yes, it is a helpmate that God's given man. Physically, yes. Even more as the inner beauty shines forth. You all have known a lady who wasn't especially attractive, but as you got to know her, she became more beautiful because it was the inner beauty that begin to shine forth the character of a woman who loves the Lord and accepts the role that God has created her for. So turn to Proverbs 31 once again. And within these verses, we find certain characteristics that set forth a portrait of Mrs. Far Above Rubies. In verses 11 and 12, we see the characteristic of integrity in a godly woman. What does integrity mean? Well, it's that quality or state of being a sound moral principle. It speaks of uprightness and honesty and sincerity. Integrity is obedience to the unenforceable. What do we mean by the unenforceable? Well, no one can force anyone to live up to the best in their life. And no one can make another person obey their conscience. But a woman of integrity lives in accordance to her character. Integrity means having the courage of your convictions. Arthur Gordon, in his book, A Touch of Wonder, speaks of integrity when he says, this includes the capacity to cling to what you think is right, to go out alone when you have to, and to speak out against what you know is wrong. I read an illustration of a nurse, and she was in surgery with the doctor, and she said, you've removed 11 sponges, doctor. We use 12. I've removed them all, the doctor declared. We'll close the incision now. No, the nurse objected. We use 12. I'll take the responsibility, the surgeon said. Suture. You can't do that, blazed the nurse. Think of your patient. Well, the doctor smiled, lifted his foot, and showed the nurse the 12th sponge. You'll do, he said. He had been testing her for integrity, and she passed the test. Well, she works at integrity, according to verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. In Ephesians 6:14, we read, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Or as another translation renders it, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." A godly woman is one who knows the truth and who lives by that truth. Well, as a result, you look at verse 25. "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." Verse 11 tells us that her husband trusts her because of her honor. And her children call her blessed because of her strong convictions and her tender, loving care. Mom, that's what you bring to the home, is tender, loving care. I can remember when one of our kids got hurt, they'd come running right past me and go right to Mom, because it was Mom who had that tender, loving care. And so, as a result, she receives the honor due her name. She's a woman of industry. Look at verse 13. "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." And then also in verse 15. "She riseth also while it's yet night and giveth food to her household and a portion to her maidens." And so the writer portrays Mrs. Farbove Rubies as the business partner of her husband, carrying out a variety of home industry and producing products for the market. Harold L. Lunger says, "It's so important that there be teamwork between husband and wife in the business side of family life. More today, perhaps, in the spending than in the earning of the family income. And I've found that one of the major reasons for problems in the marriage is because of finances." And in premarital counseling, it's always pointed out that you need to get it settled. Who's going to handle the finances? How are you going to handle the finances? And if you didn't do that prior to your marriage, then somewhere along the line you need to, or it's going to create problems indeed. Verse 27 says, "She does not eat the bread of idleness." You know, laziness, idleness, God doesn't have anything small enough for a lazy person to do. And I would feel sorry for any family who has a mother who is lazy and given to idleness. The reason being, she'll reap a reputation as a gossip. And there will be emotional and mental disorders. No, she reaps a harvest of fulfillment and satisfaction of a job well done. Now, Mom, you know, of course, that parenting is a life sentence. And you think about that. And you help with your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I'm only sorry that our kids all live away from us. And we haven't had the impact that we would like to have had in our grandchildren. But those of you where your grandkids live around you, what an awesome responsibility and opportunity you have. Dr. Bob Jones Jr., or Senior rather, talked about his mother. Let me quote what he had to say. "The memory of my mother is a memory of a tired face. She was the mother of 12 children. Many a time on Saturday night I've seen her up in front of the fire, mending my clothes and then ironing a little waist and a pair of pants so I would have something to wear to Sunday school the next day. I can see her now as she sighed from weariness. The only time I ever saw her rested was when they put her in the coffin and stretched her hands across her peaceful breast. She looked rested then. I often wonder how my mother would have gotten along in this world without Jesus Christ." End of quote. I wonder that too. How in the world do we get along in this world that is anti-God and anti-Christ. How do we get along without Jesus Christ? Well, her interest is in her family's well-being. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Well, mothers today are interested in a career. There's not anything necessarily wrong with that. However, Mom, if you have a career, you got two full-time jobs. Let me say something to you, to you dads. If your wife is working outside the home, then you have to help out around the house. Don't come at home after work, sit down and read the paper, watch television, let your wife do everything. There's some women, mothers, who are interested in a cause or a project, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or they're interested in a politics or a community service. Nothing wrong with these things unless they take priority over your primary interest, which is the well-being of your family. Mom is to meet more than just the physical needs of their children. Johnny, age 4, appeared one day at the door of his father's study with a forlorn-looking chick that had apparently strayed away from a neighbor's brooder. The father said rather sternly, "John, take that chicken right back to its mother." "It ain't got no mother," John replied. The father insisted that he obeyed. He said, "Well, then take it back to its father." But Johnny protested, "It hasn't got no father either. It hasn't got anything but an old lamp." Well, an electric lamp may serve the physical needs of the chick well enough. It may hatch the egg and preserve the chick until it's old enough to face life. But that is about all. And the tragedy is that there's some fathers and mothers like that. They give their children a warm bed, nourishing food, adequate clothing and shelter, but no love, no affection, no security. Well, in 100 little ways that would escape definition, Mom makes children feel secure and happy. You know, it's Mom that makes a house a home. Hey, that's worth saying again, isn't it? It's Mom that makes a house a home. And she creates for the family what Washington Irving once referred to as that delicious home feeling. On a cemetery stone below the name of the date of the deceased was a simple phrase: "She made home happy." She made home happy. Nothing else was said. Nothing else needs to be said. You know, in the pastorate, you have pressures. We all have pressures within our job, within the neighborhood. There are a lot of pressures in this world. But I often told Pat, as long as things are well at home, I can stand the pressure of the ministry. And how true that is. As long as things are well at home, you are able to stand all the adversities, all the pressures that life brings. Then Mrs. Far Above Ruby's is a woman of inspiration. And the source of her inspiration is the Lord. Verse 30. "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." A Christian mother. What makes a Christian mother? Well, of course, it's her relationship to the Lord. She knows Jesus Christ in a personal way, not just as some figure of history. You know, even liberals, they know that Jesus existed, and they would even say he's important, but they dethrone him in the fact that they say he's just a man. But we know he was more than a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. He left heaven's glory to come down to this earth to live a perfect life. Do you know what we would live like had Adam not sinned and caused the human race to fall into sin? We would have walked this earth just as Jesus Christ did, in a perfect way. But Adam sinned. And when he sinned, we sinned with him, because we are part of the Adamic family. And we need to be transferred, do we not, over into the God's family. Transferred unto the kingdom of his dear son, the scripture says. And that comes at a point in time. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But the moment we're confronted with the claims of Christ, you have a decision to make. Either you place your faith and trust in Christ, or you reject salvation so rich, so free, so full. And you know, there is that line. That line where some people step across and the Holy Spirit no longer convicts them or convinces them that they need to place their faith and trust in Christ. And it's eternally too late. There's no second chance after death. It's the decision you make here and now, Mom. And I trust that all of our moms here know the Lord in a personal way. Pat had the opportunity to lead our oldest son, Ken, to the Lord. I was going somewhere to preach. This was in Tulsa years ago. And Ken was always had a spiritual side to him. He was 4 years old when he trusted the Lord. And as I was leaving, he said, "Well, Dad, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to preach, Ken." He said, "Well, tell them to get the devil out of them." Well, that's a pretty good message, isn't it? But she had the opportunity to lead Ken to the Lord. And then when Kip was 4 years old and Ken 2 years older, Ken led Kip to the Lord. And then I think you probably had the opportunity to lead Carrie to the Lord. You didn't? I'm a Sunday school teacher, a WANA worker, was able to lead Carrie to the Lord. But Mom, when the kids are small, you have the greater part to inspire them for the things of God and to live for Jesus. She's an inspiration to her husband by her encouragement and understanding. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates. That means he was one of the elders of the city. When he sitteth among the elders of the land. And then she's an inspiration to her neighbors. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. And then her speech, ladies. This is very important. Verse 26. I like the King James Version. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I think you ought to write that out on a card and paste it on the mirror where you look at it every morning. And not only moms, but dads, every believer. That would be a good verse to remember each day. Because we read in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That means Mom knows who to speak to, how to speak to them, and where she should speak to them. And that takes real wisdom to be able to speak forth wisdom. I like that last phrase, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In Colossians 4:6, we read, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every person. Salty speech, usually we think of that as cursing. Someone speak kind of salty. No, that's not what this verse is teaching. It means speaking with the flavor of a godly mother. So that you know how to answer people. Not only when they ask you why your home is a happy home, but whenever they ask of counsel about children, that you can give them some advice. And so Mrs. Far Above Rubies has these characteristics that we're talking about. She wasn't perfect. There are no perfect mothers. There are no perfect dads. There are no perfect believers. Nevertheless, Mom has a special place in the home and in our church. And how I praise God, as I said already, for the precious mothers that we have in our church. You bring something to this church that we men cannot. It's the tender, loving care that you can give to one another, not just for your children, but to all believers. And so it is a great thing to have you mothers here and to be honored today. And may the Lord bless you in a mighty way as you follow these characteristics that we find here in Proverbs chapter 31. Father, we do give you praise and thanks now to be put in remembrance of how wonderful it is to have a godly mother and how